Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of B4 Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see Him for who He is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Hey everyone, welcome to the B4 podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Ashley.
And today we are bringing you part two of the conversation with Joel Buchanan.
Yep, we're really excited to continue the conversation with him. It was one of the best conversations maybe that we've done. It was one of my favorites.
I agree.
And definitely one of the most informative.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk a little bit more about the cultural specificity of the state of Alaska. I almost said country. It almost feels like its own country after talking to him.
Yeah. Geographically, it's like half the size of the United States.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I did not realize that the landmass of Alaska was that big until he shared about that. And generally, we talked a little bit too about our philosophy for mission and outreach, both his philosophy, how that impacts our philosophy as a church at B4. And we also talk a little bit about if you are inspired to go on a trip to Alaska, what you could expect for that. And we also made sure that we ask how we could be praying for Joel. So make sure you stay till the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my favorite things in all of this is that we get to talk about what Ministry of Reconciliation looks like. We talk a little bit about the history and the past in both of these episodes about the church and the U.S. government navigating Native Indigenous people. And there's so much hope and so much joy, really, in Joel. And in the process of rebuilding trust with people who we have lost trust with. And very cool to celebrate that and to celebrate the work that God has been doing through our church, but also a lot of the work that's to come. So you get to hear more about that as well. And we are so excited you're tuning in.
Well, Mark is feeding me some questions because he's in the room. And he said that I should ask about the importance of uncles in your culture.
Uncles?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you were my sister, this is the easiest way I can paint this picture. You would have mom's identity.
Okay.
Your boy just turned six, seven, whatever. I'd come to you and I'd take him. He's mine to raise now.
Oh. Interesting.
And it would be my responsibility as the uncle to raise the boys and the aunties to raise the girls.
Huh.
Because as we know, parents are sometimes too soft on their kids. And it was a way to make sure, one, culturally, that the clan identity, your mother's people. So you'll hear me say that as you get to know me, you'll hear, but when I'm talking about me, I won't say me. I'll usually use the phrase my mother's people. And it's a way to not promote yourself. Because it's not about me. It's about mom's identity, my mother's people.
And if you have a maternal line, it would make sense.
It's a matriarchal society. So, you know, you take care of, you're taking care of you when you take care of nephew. You take care of you when you take care of niece. Because that's your family identity group. No, if I had been raised in North Carolina with my dad, then I'm sure everything that I would know would be patriarchal. And then I would, and that's no disrespect to my dad, the things that I'm talking about. But it's just a way to, as you guys are coming to Alaska, to help us understand, as I learn more about you, I hope in some small way that I've done my job well, that you'd learn something about me and my mother's people. And if you want to talk about the Chinas people, the Haida people, I can introduce you to them and then you can hear their story. And that's basically where our outreach is at. Is, you know, I make introductions and then you guys have to know, and hopefully I've done my job enough to encourage you guys to learn and do and say the right things that they want to tell you their story, that that we've earned enough respect and enough space in their life that they will tell you their story. Because ultimately, we're all very proud of who we are. You know, it's God that spoke and scattered the peoples of the earth. And it says he gave us all our own tongue. And that's how all First Nation people came to be. Who are we to change that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's biblical.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when you analyze it from that point of scripture, we actually totally, not only all the things that happen to kids, but in my opinion, you know, the way I see it, we really screwed that one up.
I would have to agree. It's interesting, like we see at the end of the story, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, right? There is no tribes, no nations, no tongues, you know? It's an acknowledgement of all the differences of the world coming together to acknowledge who Jesus is.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so back to my comment a minute ago,
I
would challenge my brothers and sisters, where are the Silettes? Where are the Yamhill people?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Clackamas people?
Mm.
There's huge mission opportunities right here in your backyard. I don't know these people, and I hope I'm not offending anybody.
Yeah.
My words are not meant to offend any of these people groups.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's meant to encourage us as believers of the mission opportunities that we have right here in America, all over the country. And I'm promoting Alaska, so.
Sure, of course.
We'd love to see everybody up there.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
But for those that can't afford or they can't, they don't feel led to go.
Yeah.
Then there's work to do right here.
Well, and some of this is just paradigm shifting for people, you know, in the sense that some of our people are going to be hearing some of this and it's going to drastically change the way they see the world, or at least challenge the way they see the world.
Yeah.
You know? Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah, I do. And then, so that's very complex. I mean, how do you, how do you take that to the next step of involvement or education level or relationship level? And the only way to do that is to get out there and it's time.
Yeah.
It's time with people. It's time with honor.
Yeah.
It's time serving.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it.
Well,
that's the only thing that really works.
Because
if, you know, and when Fourscore first, the missions director at the time, first contacted me, he asked, well, we want to do a mission outreach. And I got your name from Pastor Dale, your number. And I said, well, what do you think? And he goes, well, we're hoping we can do some mission outreach stuff there in Southeast Alaska. And I said, well, I might be able to help you, but that depends. And he said, depends on what? And I said, well, if you're going to knock on doors and hand out tracts, I can't help you.
Right.
My mother's people have been hearing that for 150 years.
Yeah.
And it's got you nowhere.
Hmm.
But if I'm going to go out and ask the people, can we help you in some way?
Yeah.
With whatever they respond with, this is where we'd like help.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we agree with it or not, we help.
Yeah.
Because we asked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how mission outreach got started on Prince of Wales.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good operating principle in general. I think often if we see the places where the church has gone wrong, it's been where we've assumed that we know what people need and what's best for them instead of listening. And even I think we've done this as a congregation of, instead of being like, well, clearly the city of Beaverton needs X, Y, or Z, of going to the school district or going to the city council and saying, what do you actually need right now? And that's how we ended up with things like the food boxes that we did during COVID. And if we make assumptions about what people need, we're probably going to accidentally step on toes and do more harm. So it's beautiful what you're saying of, no, like we actually need to find out what these people want from us and we'll only give them what they want because we don't want to sully relationships and do make some of the same mistakes
that
have been made in the past.
Yep.
That was Jesus's favorite question, right?
Yeah. What do you want me to do for you?
Right.
So you're kind of just saying, I would love it if Jesus's people would come up and ask the same question.
Yes,
well,
Jesus.
They use the phrase church people. You know, because what'll happen, a pile of material, lumber, or something gets, and I've heard, you know, the church people are coming. There's something going to happen. So
is that a positive statement? It's become that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Church people are coming.
That's good.
Because, you know, like, the villages are, I think Heidelberg's about 400, Kloak's population is about 800, maybe 700.
Yeah.
Coffin Cove, where Trish and I live, is 225.
Yeah.
Thorn Bay, where Trish works, might be 800.
Wow. Okay.
You know, the numbers are off a little bit, but they're close.
Yeah.
You know, it's sure. It's pretty, it can be very remote.
Yeah.
But it's nice. I mean, it's a nice place to live. So yes. Mark was just asking a question, if I may. Because I know where he's going.
Mark's in the background.
He's in the peanut gallery.
Yeah,
everyone.
No,
that's why we have him here.
I do appreciate that, because this story does need to be told to honor what Holy Spirit's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been doing these carbon shed projects and these cultural projects. And the one story I almost forgot before I get to the one Mark just asked about, I need to tell another one, is Wildfire from the Renton Christian Center out of Renton would send high school kids for their spring break in April. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've been to where I live, it's pretty cold and wet in April. But they helped the village or the community of Klawock with a new totem park. Mm. And so these were all literally high school kids, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders would come, and they, cut trees down and rolled out kept the firewood that was good. And then we burnt a bunch, and then they set the trails and hand wheeled with wheelbarrows all the gravel for the trails for this new totem park right along the shoreline, right where traditionally totem parks would be. Mm-hmm. And so I would be amiss if I didn't mention that project as some of the projects that we've been doing. But through the projects and through some of the family groups, we've been invited to go into other villages to help with similar projects. Mm-hmm. And one of the villages is Yakutat. Hmm. Now, I don't want to go too far into that because I don't want to tell their story. Right. But, hey, we'd like to carbon shed too. Is there a possibility? And then, of course, COVID hit and everything shut down.
But,
that's still on my radar is to honor that conversation that I had with one of the individuals from Yakutat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, It's just a powerful statement. You don't think, how many times could we go preach at a church and then have somebody in Yakutat, hey, can you come preach at mine?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't really happen.
No.
But
sure.
You're doing nothing more than taking, a lot of times, it's just a bunch of rough construction guys that just love to work.
Yeah.
And they go, well, what can I do on a mission trip? Mm-hmm. Well, you're exactly who we need, brother. Come on up, man.
Yeah.
And so they come, they put these buildings together, and here they are, they're melting the hearts and the minds of people around, not only mine, but in the village of Klawock and Heidelberg and Kassan and wherever else we've been. But they're also all the other end, it's like 340 miles from where we're at, if I have the numbers right.
Yeah.
And we've never been there.
But they've heard.
Yes,
they've heard. They're planting seeds.
Wow.
Yeah. So the seeds are, those shoots.
Yeah.
They're starting to sprout up.
That's right.
And so the nice thing about the villages of Heidelberg and Kassan is they've got ties with the native folks in Canada.
Mm. Making it international.
Day, right. Yeah. And so one day I see that happening.
Yeah.
If we're willing.
That's amazing.
So
if we're willing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big if.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Are we committed to a long-term relationship approach to what Jesus is supposed to be to First Nation people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rebuilding trust does not happen overnight.
No, it's a decades-long approach.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of that is the work we're talking
that
about.
That was one of the first questions because, some of the theology, or if that's even the right term, planning process for missions is we're going to commit to 3 years and see if it works. And I'm like, well,
3 years?
Right. And I'm like, well, why even bother?
We have 100 years of stuff to undo.
That was my response. Why bother?
Exactly.
Yeah. If you're only committed to 3 years, then let's not even get started.
No, no, that'll do more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm so glad Jesus and his mission didn't just commit 3 years.
Well, exactly.
And he was only around for three years.
Exactly. Because were a byproduct of what he did.
That's right.
And his story. And so I would challenge everybody that hears the words that I'm speaking. Mm-hmm. What is your story? And what impact and what story can you tell that you were part of something much, much larger than yourself?
Yeah.
Than myself.
Yeah.
Because when we commit our hearts and our minds and our hands to something much larger than ourselves, we see hearts change. We see, you know, miraculous things happen. The whole mindsets of villages are starting to change because we did nothing more than show up with some hammers and some skill saws and extension cords and we went to work.
Right.
As we develop a relationship and we become part of these projects, we, as Beaverton Kwan or Beaverton people, whether it be Beaverton or Red Hills or, you know, name, pick any Foursquare church that's come, put your name there, put your story in. What I'm about ready to say is you have become part of the story of reestablishing culture, identity, developing relationships, establishing trust, or trying to establish trust. You know, it just depends where we're at and what individual you talk to.
Yeah.
But over time, that all changes. If we continue to show up year after year after year, and our presence is always the same, it's consistent, it's love, it's hard work.
Yeah.
And we just want the opportunity one day to tell you how much Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me what day that's going to be?
Yeah.
And we wait for the invite for a church.
I read the other day that Jesus asked 300 questions and only answered 3, which I just think is really cool. He spent more time interested in the people that he came to save and to serve. And I want to ask you a question, and it is, what are the biggest misunderstandings that you have to work through and with when in regards to Christians understanding the story that you just shared with us?
Totem poles or idols. That's probably number one.
Tell us more.
Well, totem poles were, for the most part, you know, a majority of them can be mortuary poles. So you think of gravestone.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a cemetery and you see all these stones.
Yeah.
But are they worshiped?
No.
No.
Hope not.
No. Right. And so ultimately, people need to understand that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that is, there's different people groups. When this is probably one of the more complex things to try and help people understand, there's traditional tribe. There's federally recognized tribe. Mm. There's village corporation. There's city government. And so that one individual may sit and be part of all four of those. And so we need to understand when we do mission. I mean, yeah, okay, so this guy's elected. He's got a big family. But if we're talking about cultural and true identity of like the story of a totem pole, we necessarily don't go to the elected officials. We have to find the family group and have them tell their story or work with them on whatever. And so that's some of the complexities of what you know, we have to wade through. But that usually that's down the road a ways before. I mean, most people just show up and they just think, well, okay, you guys are all part of the same tribe.
That's so important.
But that's not the case. I mean, that's another one. Everybody, just because they're all
Native. Indigenous people. Yeah.
I mean, it's very just.
Like you're all the same.
Right. Exactly. And that's one that really has to be worked on.
Right.
Is there, we're not all the same.
Well, you said earlier, was it 46% of indigenous people are in Alaska? Is that what you said?
I said 46. I'll say 46.
Okay.
Percent of the federally recognized tribes in the United States.
Yeah.
Or in Alaska.
And how many different tribes is that? Ballpark it?
I have no idea because I'm not familiar with the people groups from the interior of the Athabascan people. You've got nations, the Athabascan Nation. You got the Yupik the Inupiat, the Inuit, the Tlinkets, the Haidas, the Tsimshians, the Aleutic, the Aleuts. So all of those nation groups have multiple tribes, and then what family structure is, we would have to hear their story.
How many? Clearly, though, not all the same.
Radically different.
I mean, geographically located in radically
different places.
Yeah, I mean, so like Ketchikan, the nearest airport where I'm at is 670 miles north of Seattle. Well, it's actually closer to Seattle than we are to Anchorage.
Wow.
And so that just goes to show you the span of how far everything is apart and how radically different those people groups are going to be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Wow. It's when you said the biggest misunderstanding is that totems are not idols, right? They're not. I was thinking about, so if you're listening to this and all of a sudden that idea flipped on its head, that, you know, you could be frustrated. Oh, we're going up there to help them build idols. But then all of a sudden you start to understand that's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, oh my goodness, I'm going there to help build something that establishes your identity and your story and your family. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to serve that for you. That is two very different ideas about what you're doing.
Sure. Mm-hmm. In fact, that very question with the very first team, leaders.
Of course.
Mm.
I had to deal with that very question.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we help you? Aren't these idols?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they worshipped? No.
So
they tell a story. Mm-hmm. And the story is to, you know, whoever commissions the pole or carves the pole, that pole has a story, but it was never worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
We're deeply spiritual people.
Right.
You know, we honor and respect the fish, the animals, the food that we gather, the trees, mm-hmm. the bark, all the things that sustain us from the forest and the sea.
Yeah.
But they're not worshipped. That's called respect.
That'd be like somebody telling me my family photo album is an idol. I know that's an oversimplification.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But for misunderstanding what my family photo album is and the story that it tells, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Well, so how about the pictures on your wall?
Yeah.
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 Of your family.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On a much simpler scale, of course, but it's basically the same thing.
Am I incorrect in thinking, because I feel like Fabi told me this once, that a lot of the totems, in addition to potentially being memorials, also are a way that stories are passed down, or there's like stories that are told,
and
but
so
you can only tell them, like only certain people can tell them?
Traditionally, it's not as much anymore,
but
traditionally it belonged to the family group.
Uh-huh.
So like one of the poles I could probably feel safe about talking about was just recently a veterans pole was raised in Kluwak, the Hiinyaquan people,
mm-hmm.
so the across the water people from the Tlingit Nation. They commissioned a pole and they raised a pole, but it had a traditional Tlingit warrior and it had a modern warrior from, it looked like maybe from Vietnam or the
mm-hmm.
Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both carved on the pole to tell the story and honor the veterans, United States veterans.
Mm-hmm.
That whole pole was just to honor veterans. So, I mean, it's just some poles can tell stories. They can commemorate events.
Mm.
Mark says we should ask about the shame pole.
Okay, so that's a pole that belongs to the Tongass people, the sea lion people, which is the tribe that my mother's from.
Uh-huh.
And we had a government representative come, and they threw him a party, the potlatch.
Mm.
Now, in our custom, it's understood when you have a party that one will be given in return at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Not out of obligation, but because of what I've been trying to help share is respect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when that didn't happen to the Americans representative. A shame pole was raised, and it can't be taken down until that debt has been repaid.
Wow.
And so to this day, there's a shame pole in the village of Saxman. You'll see it if you ever stop in there. It's still raised to the shame of the American government because they didn't participate in our culture. Yeah. And that's about one of the worst things that could happen. So, you know, we want to tread lightly as Foursquare people that
we don't erect a shame pole.
Yeah, we don't want any shame poles from Beard and Foursquare.
That we don't have a shame pole.
We will throw
erected
those
in our honor but or that dishonor.
That is a sober warning, though, at the same time, of what happens when you just don't value people.
Or don't take the time to understand.
Yeah, it's been over 100 years.
Yeah.
And
in 100 years, nobody's like looked into that.
Well, I think the family group came and asked to take it down. Mm. And the tribe said no.
Mm. Yeah.
No, that debt hasn't been paid.
Mm-hmm. What would the debt being paid look like?
Oh, boy. Okay, so I talked about traditional tribes.
Yeah.
I got to explain this first. Federally recognized tribe.
Yep.
I'm going to start with federally recognized tribe because that's going to be easier to understand.
Yeah.
You're Cherokee. I'm pointing to my left.
Yeah.
You're Simpson. You're Haida. I'm Tlingit. Mark's Sioux. Okay.
That's his wife's name, which is actually funny.
Right. I know that. That's why I did that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah.
So anyway, you're all living in Ketchikan in 1934 when the Indian Reorganization Act is adopted. But because you're all native and you've got together as a group and you've adopted bylaws and a constitution, you now have evolved into today being the largest tribe in Alaska. That is the identity of the tribe in Ketchikan. Wow. Now, they're sitting on traditional homeland of my mother's people. The Tongass National Forest is named after my mother's people. But because we didn't waive our rights to Aboriginal title and land claims and all the stuff that happened with the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934, adopted in 1936, we are non-existent when it comes to any conversations with the United States government.
Wow.
We don't exist.
Not recognized.
Not recognized. And we're just slowly getting smaller and smaller. Anyway, that's...
Wow.
It is what it is. I mean, that could go... We could go into that for a while.
Yeah, that seems... All of that feels very complicated and complex history and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think a lot of different dynamics going into that.
Yeah, there are.
Wow.
So when one needs help, you help others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Curious, before we kind of wrap things up, because maybe there are people listening that are like, you know what? This has totally inspired me. I would like to go to Alaska. But if you're like me, I kind of like to know what I'm getting myself into when I sign up for a trip or something. So if I were to come, or if Alex and I were to come for a week, what kinds of things would we expect to do or see or be a part of if we were to spend a week with you guys?
Well, if we were doing outreach in one of the villages, we'd be doing, you know, a project, a church. There's a church in Heidelberg that needs some work.
So some construction
projects
kind of
for
stuff.
The schools, construction stuff, gathering firewood for elders. I mean, so you don't have to be highly skilled with a chainsaw.
That's good, because I'm not.
Right? I mean, you just have to be willing, you know, and then.
To work, yeah.
Yeah, and then some of the stuff that's coming this next season, it's like Vacation Bible School for kids.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then one that would probably go over really well is for those that love to play basketballs. Basketball's king where I come from.
You're speaking Alex's language
you're
right now.
Speaking my language.
Right, so,
I played college ball with a couple guys from Alaska.
Well, there you go. Yep. You're already recruited. See Mark. We're going to have basketball camp in one of the villages. And it'd go over like hotcakes.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So there you go. You can be a basketball coach. Just know how to... play with kids and teach them.
Don't
come up to be a basketball coach if you can't.
No, you'll get schooled and they'll see right through you.
Honestly, some of the guys that I played with from Alaska are some of the best basketball players I ever played with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't go up there if you don't know what you're doing. Right.
I will stick to gathering the kindling. You can do the basketball coaching.
But keep in mind, even though we've kind of oversimplified that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But on a very intimate level, all we're really doing is just getting to know the people.
Mm-hmm.
Building trust.
And we're representing ourselves well and just finding something to do. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it. There's something to do. There's something to do every summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always a way to help someone, right?
Whether it's pick beach asparagus and we share that with
the
elders.
Beach asparagus.
We go gather food we can share with others or firewood we share with others. Mm-hmm. So there's always something. And I like to use the phrase that there's always firewood, but that encompasses that meaning
a
lot of things.
Right.
Yeah, one of the impressions that I've had, Fabi and I shared an office for like 3 years. So I would get to hear all of her stories from going to Alaska. She tried to get me to go this year, but then I got pregnant and she went to Venezuela. So alas, that didn't happen. But it seems like depending on when you go in the year, you could be doing something completely different. So fishing or the sea asparagus or cutting firewood or like it doesn't matter what your skill set is. There'll be something that you could do. And
yeah, just bring a heart to serve.
Yeah.
Mm. Bring your heart and your hands, you know, multiple layers of clothes, rubber boots. It's going to rain. You can count on it.
We're kind of used to that here in Portland. Maybe not to the same extent.
Yeah, no.
Okay, 2 weekends ago it blew to 109. Last weekend it blew
93. Yeah, that's a little different. Yeah, we're not used to that.
No.
So lots
that's
of
sideways
wind.
Rain.
And uphill too. And, depending where you're at.
Oh, I've just heard that if you come to Alaska, one eats very, very well.
We try. We try. But here's the deal. If you don't work hard.
You don't get the food?
You get beanie weenies and pork and beans.
And if I do work hard, what can I look forward to?
Salmon, halibut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Salmon, I can get behind.
Large portions of whatever we can help you eat.
Yeah.
You know, just. No, we're deeply honored because, you know, to date. I've not had to serve beanie weenies.
No. Sounds like much better food than I've had on other similar trips that I've been on. I've never had salmon on a serving trip before, so that's something to look forward to.
Well, that's actually a lot cheaper than hamburger.
Oh, I would think.
I believe. I'm
in Alaska, I believe that.
And it's one that everybody enjoys because, you know, it's only fresh once.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's always such a nice treat to be able to serve a meal that people can enjoy. And that they can go home and tell their families about that. Hey, I went to Alaska and we did this, and I got to meet these people and right back to the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it's our Trish and my hope and prayer that when you guys come, that, you know, like I said before, everybody thinks they're going to change our world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But through hard work and then, and just Alaska being Alaska and the people of Alaska and what they represent. It's our hope that we can in some small way instill the love and the fortitude of who we are as a people and that you take that home and you would apply that to your lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of what you've learned while you're with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better way to honor
us
than what you've learned from us to apply it to your lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That we can influence others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So right back to the beginning, Trish and I were just doing life in Foursquare, kind of came along and here we are. Yeah. So it's been such a wonderful ride and very rewarding. It's been a lot of work, but it's been very, very rewarding.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Beaverton hadn't come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Beaverton hadn't been faithful and sent based on Mark's word, because they came and did a planning trip, you know, if those people hadn't come, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
And all the impact on the island from not only this church, but others have come because of the story he came back and told.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark influences other people. So other people come and then they tell the story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's growing over time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like a ripple effect.
It is a ripple effect, and it's just Holy Spirit working through everybody's hearts.
Yeah.
And just influencing others. Yeah. And so that's all one can hope for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
is that we can change our heart.
Yeah.
Or just change one heart and one village at a time.
Yeah.
You know, let's just stay consistent. Let's just keep showing up over and over and over again, just like the waves washing on the shore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Foursquare is going to be here this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this has been probably one of my, if not my favorite conversations we've had on the podcast.
Yeah.
Goodness, Jeesh. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean that.
And I really do hope that I need to say this again because somebody will hear this and I want to make sure that it's understood by the people that I'm not here to tell their story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But my hope is that I, in some way, help you guys understand, ask the questions so that you can get to know them.
Right.
And you could someday hear their story and that they would be able to tell that story to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I ask you one more question before we wrap up?
Sure.
How can we pray for you as a church?
Mm-hmm. Strength. For strength and fortitude. Pray that the hearts of the people would be softened so that when you guys do come, we can see immediate impact.
Yeah.
That you can see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you can taste that victory. You can see it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
That we can supernaturally be such an impact and a blessing on the people that we reach out to that they cannot deny that we're Jesus lovers and we represent something different.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You got it.
Yep. That's something we can do.
We can do
that. And then, of course, always the finances, that there's money there to help. Yeah. And that just goes unsaid.
Yeah.
So if there's money there to work, equipment to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Projects, the material will be there on time. And logistics, we'd probably cover all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all of that boils down to planning. And again, that's, you know, kind of a small part that Trish and I get to be part of to help facilitate.
You got it.
Thank you for listening with us today. We hope that you enjoyed both of this two-part series with our missionary partner, Joel Buchanan. We hope to have him and other missionaries like him on in the future so we can just kind of continue to share those stories. If you want to make sure that you never miss an episode of our podcast, including other great interviews like this, or sometimes just me and Alex talking about things we think are important, make sure that you are subscribed to the B4 podcast on iTunes or Spotify. We actually have a link in the show notes. If you're having trouble finding us on either of those platforms, there's a link in there that'll take you directly to where you need to go to subscribe. Don't forget, if you subscribe, you not only get this conversational style podcast on Tuesdays, you also get our weekly liturgy, which drops on Thursdays, and our weekly teachings, which drop on Monday. We hope to see you guys next week.